And when we do these local pledge drives, we also get to bring in great guests. Our next guest is not actually local. He's calling in from Washington, D.C., from the Pontifical John Paul II Institute. And we are grateful to be able to speak with Dr. Joe Atkinson. Welcome, Doctor.
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to be with you.
Such a pleasure, such a pleasure. We know that all good things begin with prayer. So would you lead us in a prayer for this next segment?
Sure. Thank you, Father, for the gift of communication, that we are able to spread the truth so that people can be free. We ask you, Father, to bless this radio station and the listeners, and may it become fruitful, and may people support it in every way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so a few housekeeping things before we get going here. We have a bell here, and I actually am going to get to ring the bell. It hasn't happened yet, but if we can get five callers on the line, we like to keep things fun here at the Quest. So every five pledges, we're going to ring the bell. So if we can get five pledges on your clock, then we're gonna ring it, and I get to ring it on your behalf since you're calling in. We also ring it every time we get something called a founder. A founder says they'll give $100 a month for 36 months, and I think that we have four of those so far for today. Maybe five. We have five founders, two of them just in this last hour. So we are extremely grateful. $100 a month for 36 months, or a one-time $3,600 pledge. Every founder gets to go into a drawing. Every monthly donor, actually, $20 a month or more, goes into a monthly drawing. And we are giving away several things. One of them is a hot air balloon ride. So if you would like to be part of that hot air balloon ride, you can take yourself and two guests up, and it's donated by Play South Playground Creations. We also have a beautiful painting of the Holy Family, and it is by a local, let's see if I can find the name here. It's by Sally Kazin, and she is a painter of religious art. And you can view it at St. Bridget Perpetual Chapel. So every monthly donor will go into a drawing for either of those two items. We also have the thing going on where once we get eight founders for the day, then we will have a drawing. So as soon as we get to eight, we're going to draw out one name out of the eight, and whoever that is will get a one-night stay at the Avalon Hotel. And so they have donated a one-night stay in order to support the Quest Catholic Radio. One more thing that we have is we have a family feud, Catholic style, coming up here later today. We're going to play at 5 o'clock, and they donated our trophy for that. It's a beautiful statue of the Holy Family, and it's called, the donor was Two Hearts Gifts and Books, which is a Catholic bookstore here in Roswell, Georgia. So if you would like to support them, because they supported Catholic Radio, we would absolutely love it. They are here at their shop Monday through Saturday between 10 and 4. So if you want to support them, we would surely appreciate it. They also have a website, twoheartscatholic.com. Then the last little thing that we have is kind of cool, because I think, Dr. Atkinson, do you happen to know Michael and Anna Camacho by any chance?
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's my daughter-in-law.
Oh, really?
My daughter and son-in-law. So Michael is my son-in-law. And they have started a beautiful candle company called CordaCandles.com. And the candles are all centered around the lives of the saints. The scents, the candles, are the names are inspired by saints. And so we're giving away $10 gift cards to CordaCandles.com if you call in, and we get three callers on the line all at the same time. All three callers get a $10 gift card, and so does our guest, who right now is Dr. Joe Atkinson. So we are grateful, and we would love to give you that. And again, it's CordaCandles.com. www.thegiftofcommunication.com. Okay, so let's see. I think that's all of our housekeeping right now. So I'll give out the number one more time, and then we get to find out about Dr. Joe Atkinson. So number to call, 470-508-1160. So Doctor, my understanding is that you are not a cradle Catholic. So can we start out finding a little bit about you and your very interesting journey into the Catholic Church?
Sure. It's been a journey which really is a journey concerning truth. That was the issue that really just kept pounding on my heart. I was born in Canada and part of what's called the Anglican Church of Canada, which is associated with the Church of England. Therefore, I was used to, you know, a beautiful prayer book, beautiful prayers, beautiful hymnody, and some very, really good pastors over the years. But the problem started, I was actually became an Anglican minister, and was, you know, that was a great blessing and met wonderful people. But the question of the truth, of moral truth and other things really hit me. Particularly, I was a few years into the ministry, and we were looking at the question of abortion came up in Canada, and it has the country itself has a horrible dedication to abortion, which is really sad. But within the Anglican Church where I was, the denomination where I was, there wasn't an absolute about life, and that deeply disturbed me. And as well, I always knew that. That contraception was disordered, and so my wife and I, we never practiced contraception. We welcomed the children that we had. We ended up having 6 children, and so it was a difficult passage for me because my whole culture, my whole sensitivities, everything else really formed in this Anglican tradition. But I knew at some point that we really had to leave, and so we eventually did. And in the search, one of the big things was, you know, what do I do next? And that took a long time, a couple of years probably. And then I saw an advertisement for John Paul II Institute, and the institute in D.C. is wonderful. It's so committed to the magisterium, to the truth of Scripture, and everything they were teaching was exactly what I wanted. And so I came down here and studied for 5.5 years, ended up getting my STL and then my doctorate, and they've asked me to stay on, and so I teach their Scripture courses for them.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And so I know that you also have done, I think, some work on concerning the family as the domestic church. So I'm going to ask you to talk a little bit about that, but I want to give out the phone number again as well, because we would love to get the phone lines going so that we can give away these wonderful gift cards to cordacandles.com, $10 gift cards when we get 3 on the line. And most importantly, you know, we just really need to be supporting Catholic Radio and the work that it's doing, you know, the mission to save souls. And we see the good work. We hear the testimonies of the people who call in and they make a pledge. We had one person who called in, I think it was yesterday, and they said that they had actually, you know, they were a pretty good Catholic, but they'd been listening now for 6 months, and they really felt like they had grown tremendously in their faith just in the 6 months that they were listening. And so they were calling in to make a much bigger donation than what they had done before. And, you know, 32% of the responders to a survey say that they entered the Catholic Church because of what they heard on Catholic Radio. So we're talking with Dr. Joe Atkinson, who is a convert to the Catholic faith. It wasn't Catholic Radio that brought him in, but it is working for so many. So we would love to have the participation of all of our listeners right now by calling 470-508-1160 or by donating online at thequestatlanta.com, thequestatlanta.com. And if you are familiar with Dr. Joe Atkinson, if you're familiar with the John Paul II Institute, the Pontifical John Paul II Institute, Institute. If you would like to give a message to Dr. Joe, we can absolutely do that over the air. We will only use your first name, and we'll let him know the last name if he's interested. We'll get that to him. So 470-508-1160 is the number to call. So Doctor, tell us a little bit about, we hear the phrase domestic church. You know, kind of spell that out for us, paint that picture, and tell us about your work concerning the domestic church.
Yeah, a lot of the work that I've been doing over the last 20 years has focused on the family as the domestic church. Quite a number of years ago now, I did a 13-part series on EWTN with that same name, and I published a book with COA Press, which puts the principles in one place, which is good for people.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that, in essence, that the Christian family, really, there is a difference between just the natural human family. A natural human family is obviously wonderful. It's God's creation. But it was always meant to reach its an end point. In other words, there was something even more that was ordered towards than just the natural family. And we call this the domestic church. And what that is that we discover that in the end, Christ is actually very present in our family because of baptism. We become aware of it, and then what you realize is that your family is actually a little church. And you have two of the large church fathers, both Augustine and Chrysostom, who say exactly that. They'll say things like, the father is like a bishop in the house. And they say that the father should be responsible to make sure that everybody in his house is aware of the readings and the teachings, and brings them up in that. So, and, of course, prayer is also very valuable. The reason domestic church is used is because what you realize is that, and this comes out of Vatican II, is that the smallest part of a church is not the diocese. It's not the parish. It's actually the individual families that make up the parish. So that the smallest cell of the church, actually, at least corporately, is the family. And so the family actually has a very specific role, because if the family is said to be a little church, which is what the Catechism teaches, or domestica ecclesia, the domestic church, the church in the home, then what that teaching is saying is that not only are the husband and wife married, not only are they gifted with the grace of children, and you have all those needs and all those joys, but also, just like the church, you have the same nature and the same mission as the church. Because if you say again that the family is a church, then what the church is, the family has to be on its own level and on that proper level. And so we begin to see a total new vision of what the family is.
Excellent. Really wonderful. Really, really wonderful. So how can we, what is the role, I guess, of you probably know best the role of fathers, but fathers, mothers, everyone in this domestic church, in order to share in the mission as the church, I think is the way that you worded it, that we have the same mission as the church. So what is our role in that mission in order to make our family stronger? And, as the families are stronger, then, I think it was John Paul II that said, maybe somebody else, I don't know, but it's coming to me that, so goes the family, so goes society, or something like that. So if we make the family stronger, then we are changing society as well. And so talk to us a little bit about what our role is and how we can, some of the things that we can do, tangible things that we can do to make that happen. I'll give out the number while you think about that. The number to call, 470-508-1160. 470-508-1160. 508-1160. We do have one person who's called in so far, Georgia. Georgia called in and she made a donation. So we would love to get five so that we can ring the bell. We just need four more pledges of any amount, and we can ring the bell, or a founder, and it's an automatic ring of the bell. So the number again to call, 470-508-1160, or you can donate online at thequestatlanta.com. All right, we are talking with Dr. Joe Atkinson, and I was asking him about our role. You know, are all of us out there, you know, trying to raise families, trying to be part of this, what you're calling the domestic church, trying to do the best we can. Give us some tangible ways that we can really do that in the best way possible.
Yeah, that's a really good question, because always in the spiritual life and our faith formation and trying to be faithful, so often people, authors, will give a book that says, do X, Y, and Z, follow this regime, and et cetera, et cetera. And they're good, don't misunderstand me.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a deeper thing that we all have to do, because that's the only thing that's real. And it's a question of identity. It's the question of, do we really know who we are? And that's the question that's always before us. What's the vision that you have and I have? What's the vision we have of life and of marriage and a family? And is it the right one? Because it's not just a question of doing things. And yes, there are things we do, but that flows out of an identity. And to give you an example, you see in Genesis 2, where marriage is given a fuller explanation. And what you see there is, of course, the creation of the man, the creation of the woman. They come together. They're ordered to procreation, and they're ordered to communion with each other. And, of course, that's on the natural level, that's exactly right. That's what you see. And that's what natural marriage is. Every human person is either comes from that, or is going to be participating in a marriage and a family. So that's natural family, which is a wonderful gift from God. But when you look at Genesis 2, as you unpack it, you will discover that there's all sorts of imagery there which have not to do with natural marriage per se, but actually have to do with temple, the temple of God in Jerusalem, with the covenant, with the worship of God. An example is the whole Garden of Eden is facing towards the east, and that's exactly what the temple was. There's a mention of gold and bdellium. And onyx stones. Well, onyx stones were in the high priest's breastplate. The gold was all over the place. It covered the tables, the instruments, and everything. And the bdellium was part of the incense that was raised to God. And so we see that and many other things. And what we see is that the beginning of marriage, the creation of marriage, is actually within the context of a covenant with God. And so it's not just that God creates man and woman, which he does, but there's a much deeper desire of God, and that is that marriage itself will be brought up into, will be assumed into his own way of saving the world. So there's a vision that's very different. It's much more profound. And then that's picked up by Paul. After Christ, of course, marriage now can become what it's meant to be, because now we have his grace flowing from the cross. And Paul says in Ephesians 5, he talks about marriage and what the marriage is constructed like, how the man and woman have these very specific roles, like Christ, like the church. So you already see there's an ecclesiological dimension. And then at the end, at 5:32, it's like Paul wakes up. He's been talking about marriage. He's talking about the one flesh union. And suddenly he says in 5:32, what I'm talking about is Christ in the church. So in other words, he's saying, yeah, I've been talking about marriage, but in reality, what that really is, what's really underneath it, is something much, much deeper, which is the relationship between man and woman. And what that means in the end, finally, is that we know that our capacity to love as husband and wife comes from Christ's love for his church. So marriage actually comes from Christ himself. And then for us to live out and become the husband we're meant to be and the wife we're meant to be, and then, of course, the children to what they're meant to be, we also all need to be connected to Jesus on the cross. We need to be truly baptized into Christ and allowing his life to flow through us.
Wow. And, you know, that really is, you know, that really is the cusp of what we're all about, is really just allowing God to work through us, to be his instrument, to give that total surrender to him. And it's such a, you put it much more beautifully and eloquently than I ever could, but that's what I'm hearing you say. Am I on target there?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it's not a question of eloquence, a question of living it out.
Exactly. You know, that's easier said than done, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So I really love all of this. Where can our listeners go and find some of the works that you have? You mentioned, I think, a book and the series that you did for EWTN. Where would they go to find out more information about you?
I have a website, which is Theology of the Family. So that's easy, theologyofthefamily.com.
Okay.
The book is entitled Biblical and Theological Foundations of the Family, Biblical and Theological Foundations of the Family, the Domestic Church. And you can go to Amazon. That's probably the easiest place for people to get it. The website has a lot of different interesting things, one of which is that we also have turned the Theology of the Family, we did the series on EWTN, and then I was asked by my students, actually, if I would provide a workbook, so I did. So there really is a program now where you can do it yourself or your family or friends or in a parish, where people can watch the videos and then they can follow along in the workbooks, so that they, after the 13 or like a half hour or an hour lesson, that they really begin to understand the roots of the family and what the family really means, and so that they can, because if we don't go back to our roots and understand who we are, we can't live it out.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right, so we have got to get the phone lines ringing. We did have one call, and that was from Georgia, and we are grateful for Georgia who made a pledge. We would love to get the phone lines going again. We'd love to give away the cordacandles.com $10 gift card. We can only do that one call at a time. We can only keep Catholic Radio on the air here in Atlanta one call or one online donation at a time. That it's really as simple as that, and when you make that call or donate online, all of a sudden you're part of the family. Not only are you changing things for other people, but you're changing it for yourself. You're making it possible for other people to happen onto the station and have the truths and the traditions of the Catholic Church coming into their homes, to their cars. But when we become part of the family, we start to listen more ourselves. We take ownership in that station, and we receive the grace from giving to this mission of saving souls. And that really, we can't put a dollar amount on that. The amount of people who are being changed because of Catholic Radio is phenomenal. And the reason that I do these pledge drives and I do all of this is because I believe so strongly in Catholic Radio. And I think that the reason that you're listening, you know, maybe you're listening for Dr. Atkinson, and that's wonderful. And I support that wholeheartedly. But I think, too, that most of you are listening because you love Catholic Radio, too. And so can you take some of that love, take some of the wonderful gift that God has given you, the treasure that you have, and just give some of it and let's see what the Holy Spirit will do with it. You know, we don't know whose hearts are going to be touched, but we are getting calls, we're getting testimonials, people telling us how Catholic Radio is changing them. And so can you be a part of it? I was told once by a friend who actually owns a radio station, and he said, you know, you can't take, the only way that you can take it with you is if you give it away. And I think that, you know, it's kind of a cute twist on words, but there's a lot of truth in that, because when we do give it away, and anytime we give away and empty ourselves a little bit, then we have room for the grace grace of God to come in as well. So please just really seriously consider whether or not you can be a donor to Catholic Radio. We only do these pledge drives twice a year, and we're only here until tomorrow, Friday at 6 p.m. We're here till 6 p.m. today, 6 p.m. tomorrow. Then we're back to regular programming until spring. So we need to raise the necessary funds before 6 p.m. tomorrow. Can you be a part of that by giving us a call at 470-508-1160? We so often say, you know, I need this, I need that. Well, we really do need. It's a very real need. It's not like I need some shoes. It's a real need that we need participation and we need donors to keep this on the air. When we do this, we also get to bring in great guests. And right now we're talking with Dr. Joe Atkinson, and he is with the Pontifical John Paul II Institute. And we are grateful that we have him here on the air. You know, let's change horses a little bit and talk about the John Paul II Institute, because I know that it's been in the news quite a bit. And so I'd like to really give you the opportunity to maybe clear up any misinformation that you've heard that's going on out there, and really tell us about this wonderful institute that is really promoting marriage and family. And as John Paul II, you know, talk to us a little bit about his vision for the institute, and just share with us a little bit about that.
Well, thank you very much for that opportunity. JP2, as I said, I came down here in the 1990s to begin my studies, and I had we had just joined the church on the eve of Epiphany, and I then came down, leaving my wife and six children in Canada to start my studies, and then the next semester we were able to get together, which was wonderful. But the richness of the teaching is really very special here. They have the people who have designed both the curriculum and have picked the professors have done an exceptional job. Usually in, you know, an institution, you may have, or a department, you may have one really good professor, and you're, if you, you know, really somebody who's stellar, and that's really a fine. What I find is with my colleagues really are just at the top of their field, and they are clearly able to articulate what the problems are with our society, theology, philosophy, and give profound analysis, and then also how we can move forward. So I think this is a unique institute, primarily because of the faculty, because they really are, again, excellent, but also because of the genius of John Paul II. If you remember, as Archbishop of Krakow, in I think it was the 1980s, he came over to, the United States. And he said there, he said some words to the effect that many people in America and even many people in the church do not realize that we are at the point of the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, the Christ and the antichrist. And then he went on to say, but it is within the will of God and he will win. Mm. So I think he was very prophetic, and he had a prophetic soul. And if, I don't know if you know the story, but he went to Padre Pio, and Padre Pio told him he was going to be Pope one day. Mm. So there seems to be a predestined role for John Paul II as we enter this very, very difficult time in history. So I think what we see going on in the Institute at the moment is just another reflection of the troubles, the chaos, the confusion that is in the world, and the rejection of God in the world, and sadly, in the church as well. But we're never to despair. God is always in control, and he always brings much greater good when we go through these dark times. And so in the United States here, as the session for John Paul II, we know the foundation that we have been founded on. We continue to proclaim that truth and to teach it. And we are extremely blessed in the students that we receive, because they're people who really want to investigate and understand their Catholic faith.
Agreed. And you know, we always have hope. We don't ever want to lose that, even when, you know, it just takes one light and darkness ceases to exist. So, you know, it really just takes it. You know, I think the John Paul II Institute is one of those lights. It is absolutely one of those lights. Excuse me. So is the Quest. The Quest is also one of those lights that is really helping to dispel the darkness. And so we are grateful to bring the two together today. How cool is that? That, you know, we have the airwaves that we can go out to a potential 3.1 million listeners and really bring the message of you know, how important the family is in really bringing the light to the world, and how important your work has been in bringing that light as well. You know, and I'm, you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to show my ignorance here, but I'm thinking too that there was something with, is it Cardinal Caffara?
And
it links kind of with the Fatima story, which we have a huge statue of Our Lady of Fatima here in the chapel at the Quest, and so they have a real devotion to Our Lady of Fatima. So can we talk about that a little bit? Am I remembering something correctly, or am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right on the target, and I was just thinking and was going to share that.
Ah, good.
You mentioned it, so I think it's
the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yes, what happened is that when John Paul II founded the Institute, there had been a synod on the family, and out of that, in those discussions, he wrote this truly magisterial work, which is called Familius Consertio, which is a Christian family. And it just gives profound theology of the family. As he tried to set up the Institute so that we could begin to think more deeply about marriage and the family, because he realized the danger that they were in. What he gave the obligation to Cardinal Caffara to be the first president of John Paul II Institute, and it was very rough going. They found there was a lot of opposition in the secular world, but there was also, which as we, if we understand it correctly, doesn't surprise us, there was very serious opposition in the church itself.
Mm.
And so Cardinal Caffara, a very, very godly man, he was talking to John Paul II, and I believe that JP II said to him, you know, write to Sister Lucia, who was in Spain at that time, the last seer from Fatima. So he wrote her, you know, just asking for her prayers.
And I'm going to interrupt you just for a
sure.
second, and I apologize, but I failed to give out the number, and I also have a message here. So number to call is 470-508-1160. 470-508-1160, and we want all of the parishioners at St. Anne's to know that you have a challenge right now, because Deacon Keith is over on the phones right now, and he is challenging all of the St. Anne's people to call in and give him a pledge. So here's the deal. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to call this, you've heard of Bowling for Dollars, right? If you're old like me, you've heard of Bowling for Dollars. We're going to do calling for Deacon right now. And when you get Deacon, it's an automatic $10 gift card for Court of Candles. So whoever, and if we get three on the line, then you might even get two, who knows? But let's get three on the line, so we give that $10 gift card to courtofcandles.com. And if you get Deacon Keith, it's like double prizes. You are going to get a $10 gift card just by getting him. So we're doing calling for Deacon Keith right now. It's our challenge. Let's get the phone lines going. 470-508-1160. Come on, he wants to take your call, and we know that you all want to support Catholic Radio as well. So the phone lines are kind of slow right now. Deacon's putting this challenge out there. He doesn't want to just be twiddling his thumbs. He wants to make sure that he is over there working and raising, helping us to raise the money necessary to keep the Quest on the air. So come on, let's do this. Let's do it. 470-508-1160. Calling for Deacon Keith right now. He's from St. Anne's. Come on, St. Anne's people, or any people who want to call, because you will get a $10 gift card if you get Deacon Keith. All right. So we are talking with Dr. Joe Atkinson, and what a treat it is to have him calling in from Washington, D.C., where the Pontifical John Paul II Institute is. We are so grateful to have him. And I interrupted you. We were talking about the story of Cardinal Caffara, and I interrupted you right at the point where he was sending a letter to Sister Lucia, who is associated with the Fatima messages, of course.
Yes, he, as I said, they were having, you know, serious opposition both within the church and within the secular society to setting up the John Paul II Institute. And so he just sent the letter to Sister Lucia because thinking, you know, asking for her prayers. He was not expecting an answer back because she was, in the convent and so on. So 3 weeks later, he was surprised because a letter came back, and the letter, and it's been confirmed, it says this: Father, a time will come when the decisive battle between the kingdom of Christ and Satan will be over marriage and the family. Yeah. And those who will work for the good of the family will experience persecution and tribulation, but do not be afraid because Our Lady has already crushed his head. Yeah. So that was such a wonderful encouragement from the Sera Fatima Chia to Cardinal Caffara, and he shared that just recently within the last few years. And so we see that there is something truly, it seems very much that the Lord wants this institute to be here so that the actual, what's called the ground or the foundations of marriage and family can be understood and lived out. And then if they're attacked, that's fine, but we know what the truth is and will remain faithful to the end.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I love the ending part there because, again, gosh, you know, there is always hope, always hope. And I think that's, you know, when, I don't mean to, you know, we are in a pledge drive, so we can promote Catholic Radio, and I don't mean to keep coming back to that, but I really see the correlation here because, you know, in all of our secular media, we are seeing, you know, all this doom and gloom, and we're seeing, you know, things that are half-truths, that are twisted, and sometimes are just out wrong, lies, and yet we can tune into Catholic Radio, and we do get, you know, we get the good, but we also get the bad and the ugly, but we get it with hope as well. There's always, always that message of hope, and so when I hear you say that Our Lady said to Cardinal Caffara, don't be afraid because Our Lady has already crushed his head. I mean, we can't get any more hopeful than that. You know, it's awesome. I love that story. Absolutely love that story. And I bet our listeners do too. So come on, let's keep Catholic Radio going so that we can bring these messages out through the airwaves, and let's go for the dialing for Deacon. Here we go, dialing for Deacon. That's what we need. Dialing for Deacon Keith. All the St. Anne's parishioners out there, he is challenging you to give him a call, and we will give away a $10 gift card when you get him. 470-508-1160. We are also talking with Dr. Joe Atkinson, and what a pleasure it is to be able to talk with him. So, you know, we've talked a little bit about John Paul II's vision, and we've talked a little bit about the Pontifical John Paul II Institute. We've talked a lot about the domestic family. And I think we've tied them together, but can we make that tie really clear on how the Institute is faithful to John Paul II's vision? Because we do hear a lot of things in the news, and I thought you explained it very well earlier, but let's talk about how you're living that out and being faithful to that vision at the Institute there in D.C.
Yeah, that's a good question, Hal. I think two things. One is the faculty. We've all come to our positions primarily because we are seeking the truth. That's why we're Catholic. And with the authentic magisterium as our guide, there's an automatic community that's developed. It wasn't something that we tried to develop, but it's somewhat unique in the academic world now where faculties really truly cooperate as a faculty and have a profound communion with each other. And certainly on the intellectual level and also on the friendship level, that does happen here. And again, it's not because of something we tried to build or force. It's simply if you are really desiring the truth, then you tend to congregate with other people who really want the truth and are desiring it. So you have a number of our professors who have gone through their own journeys into the church. There's a number who have converted from Protestantism. And so that dynamic is very clearly there. Now, second of all is that we do see JP2 as now St. John Paul II, as really having a gift for being able to articulate in ever profound ways the truth that has always been in the church. It's not like we're teaching novelty. Truth isn't novel in that way. Truth actually just goes deeper and deeper, and it doesn't contradict what happened in the past. It's a totally false understanding of truth, and we're very much committed to that. And so the level of discussion, the level of research you would find here is very profound and helps, again, to ground the truth that the church has always taught and will always continue to teach. The other thing is the students we have are they're self-selecting because they want a genuine Orthodox Catholic teaching. They want their faith to be expanded. And so we are aware of that, and we, of course, try to meet that need through the teaching that we do. Mm-hmm. So you have that, and then we see that, of course, what JP2 did in his long pontificate, he gave us the catechism, which becomes a norm by which you can see, well, if someone, no matter who it is teaching contrary to the catechism, then there's something wrong there. And then we also have a number of encyclicals that really very clearly define, for instance, that the discussion on the role of the ordination of women is closed because of the very actions of Christ himself. So again, he was giving reasons, and the role of conscience, and so on. And so within his own many numerous writings, there are very clear guidelines which are rooted in the tradition, which are rooted in sound philosophy, which are very strongly rooted in Scripture, and he shows that over and over again. And so what we find is that the theological, the philosophical, and the scriptural basis of JP2's work very much integrated. And that's, of course, that's not the only thing we teach, but it certainly is one of the bases.
Mm. Really lovely. Okay, so I asked my son-in-law, because, he was at the John Paul II Institute. They lived in Maryland for quite a while, and he attended the institute there. And so I asked him. He's much heavier thinker than I am. It's over my head. But he said to ask you why the pastoral side of what you do at the institute, love and mercy, can't be opposed to truth, clear understanding of right and wrong and what the church teaches. So I think you've answered a little bit of that, but maybe we can expand on it a little bit as well.
Right. No, that's, Michael, that's an excellent, it's an excellent question. And again, because it goes to the heart of the matter, and it really goes to the heart of the problem that has been in the church. It's been hidden for decades. We just look at what the bishops in Germany are doing. I mean, it's basically verging on, if not indeed having moved into heresy, heretical opinions, heretical pastoral practices. And so that always was there. It's been there for decades, but now, for whatever reasons, it's come to the surface. And so we're forced to confront, well, what is truth? And because everybody's saying, well, we have to be so pastoral, and pastoral seems to mean today, and having mercy seems to mean, well, we don't have to look at the truth. We just have something like an emotional, affirming being with other people. But that takes the example of the woman caught in adultery. Jesus did not say to her, I'm going to accompany you and walk with you, and I hope someday you'll get to some better position, place, but I'm not even sure if there is one. He doesn't say that. He says, I've forgiven you. I'm not condemning you. Go thy way and sin no more. Mm. So for Christ, he knows that there's only freedom if you are committed to the truth. He says, know the word of God, know the word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Mm. The truth is tied to the word of God. There's a false understanding of mercy which does not lead you to freedom, and it doesn't lead you to eternal life. For instance, if you had a son or a daughter who was doing drugs, or a young lady who wanted to have an abortion, like in your family, you wouldn't accompany them to the abortuary. Mm. You wouldn't go help them to get drugs in some very false understanding of mercy. That's leading a person to their own death. What mercy does is it helps the person see their own life in the light of truth. And once that happens, then they have the possibility of truly becoming free. That's like with the whole thing of communion with divorced people. Look, marriage is very, very, very difficult. We all know that. And those of us who are married know there are always times when, you know, you go through rough patches. But that's the point. You go through the rough patches. It becomes part of the way of the cross, which, if you're faithful, will lead to resurrection. To cut that short at any time is not an act of mercy. It can't be, because you're not leading the person to truth. What I always teach is that to my students is that mercy and truth, justice, are two sides of the same coin. You can't have mercy without genuine justice. That's why Jesus came, to pay for our sins. You also can't have justice unless you also have mercy, but they both, you can't separate them. And unfortunately, many people, including bishops and cardinals, are doing that today and confusing people.
Agreed. All right, so 470-508-1160. Come on, we really need to pump up the phone calls. We've been quite a while without one. And, you know, if we're going to meet our goals for today, we need to take advantage of every single minute that we're on the air. We are nearing the end of our pledge drive. We are only here until 6 o'clock today, and then tomorrow from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. So we really are getting to the point where we really, really, really need to get some more pledges coming in. So it can be online at thequestatlanta.com, or it can be called in 470-508-1160. We're dialing for Deacon right now. Dialing for Deacon. If you can get Deacon, then you get the $10 gift card to cordacandles.com. Come on, we can do this. We also have a message for Dr. Atkinson, who we're talking with right now, and Susan Rice. Okay to say her last name. I hesitated because we don't normally use the last name, but she wants us to use her last name. So Susan Rice, Dr. Atkinson, says that she wants to say hello from a friend who is listening and that she knows you through her daughters. Oh, did we lose him? Uh-oh, we did. Shucks. Okay, we'll call him back. We'll be back here in just a second, but right now it gives us opportunity to get the phones going. So the number to call is 470-508-1160, or the Quest Atlanta. And we have had another donation from Paige, so that gives us two donations. So we have Georgia and we have Paige who have called in, and we would love for you to be the next one that gives us a call. And we do have Dr. Atkinson back on the line. And Doctor, I was telling you that Suzanne Rice called in, and she said to tell you hello, and that she's listening, and that she knows you through her daughters.
Oh, yes, yes, of course, yes. Her two daughters. She has two daughters who've been involved with the Institute here, and we are very, very blessed to have them. So thank you very much for your call, Suzanne. I really appreciate that. And just know that your daughters are doing well and are very much appreciated up here.
Excellent. Love that. I love it. All right. So if you want to give Dr. a message, you can absolutely give us a call at 470-508-1160. And Dr., we have two pledges now. We have Georgia and we have Paige who have both called in with a pledge. And so we're grateful for that. And we would sure love it if we could get some more donations. We are going to take a break in about 7 minutes or so. And so we want to make sure that we are going to the Chapel of the Divine Mercy. We'll have like are we breaking at 3 or are we breaking like 5 minutes before? 5 minutes before, so we'll have a little bit of an introduction, and then we'll go to the Chapel of Divine Mercy, and then we'll have guests coming in to talk about Catholic Match. It's going to be Rosalind Broom, Joe Sullivan, and Enrique, and Caitlin Sampson will all be in here. We'll be talking about Catholic Match, so stay tuned for that. Pray the chaplet with us. Right now, we still have just about 7 more minutes with Dr. Atkinson, and what a wonderful, wonderful time it's been to have him. Want to give out his website again, theologyofthefamily.com. You can go on there. You can find out information. You can see the books that he's written. I didn't get the full title. It was Biblical and Theological Something of the Family. What was it, Doctor?
Foundations
of the Family. So if you want to look up his book, that would be Biblical and Theological Foundations of the Family. You can get it on Amazon. That's by Dr. Joseph, I guess, Atkinson. So if you would like to find out more information and really follow up with this, the domestic church, the information that he's been sharing about us as the family, as the domestic church. He's done an extensive, about 20 years worth of work committed to this. And so we would really love it if you would go to his website, purchase his book, find out more information. So, Doctor, we only have about 6 more minutes at this point, 7 more minutes, something like that. What haven't I asked you that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, good. I was thinking that, and there's really 2 things I would like to share. One is for the men in your audience. It's hard when somebody says, what is the role of a father? And it's really sometimes hard to know. With a mother, you know she's nurturing, she takes care of the child so much, she gives the child so much life. And the father, what does the father do? And I think this is where our understanding of the family being a domestic church really helps, because it will show fathers their vocation that God wants them to have. As Augustine said, you're like a bishop in your home, which means that you're responsible for the people who are in your home, that they know God, that you lead them to God, that they know the scriptures, and that they know the teachings of the church. So, and that's important. And as a father, you have that responsibility. You don't, obviously, you're not going to do all that yourself, but you do have to be involved. You can read the scriptures with your children. You don't have to know everything. The Word of God will take care of most things. It really does. And it becomes a great place where you can begin to ask questions, but also a great place where you can start to pray. So if we begin to see that this special role of fathers, which is desperately need to be recovered, that there is a very specific role for fathers, it becomes very important. It's interesting because in Hebrew, the word for male is zachar, and the word to remember is also zachar. What the father is to help the family do is to help them to remember who God is. That's our job and the covenant. The second thing is the really important role the family plays is this. In my work, as I was studying and researching the Old Testament, what I discovered was that the family is the carrier of the covenant. Well, the covenant now, like with Abraham, is the thing that ultimately will save us, as it's fulfilled in Jesus. But if you look at all the laws and rituals in the Old Testament, which are part of the law, the Mosaic law particularly, you have to have a family. The Passover happens in the family. Circumcision happens in the family. There's a special role for the father and mother, which is in the family. The food that you eat is like the temple that's in the family. So if you did not have the family, the covenant could not continue. So that's how important the family is. It carries the covenant. And in the New Testament, something even more powerful happens, is it carries the covenant, yes, but also the Holy Spirit now lives within each of us in our family, and we now become an actual part of the church. So we have, as it were, an extra vocation, not just to be a family, but to be a family as part of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Really beautiful. Okay, well, we have just about 2 minutes left. Love to get the phone lines going, 470-508-1160. We will be taking calls over the break. Again, the website for Dr. Atkinson would be theologyofthefamily.com. Highly recommend that you go in and check that out. He also has a book, Biblical and Theological Foundations of the Family. We still have the challenge out there from Deacon Keith, dialing for Deacon right now, and you get a $10 gift card if you get him. So come on, let's get the pledges coming in, and really just, you know, we just try to have a little bit of fun as we also raise the money necessary for Catholic Radio. So we have just a couple of more minutes with Dr. Atkinson. You know, what would you say about Catholic Radio, Doctor? Would you, you know, if somebody's out there on the fence wondering if they should call or if they shouldn't, what would you say to them?
Oh, Catholic Radio has been such a powerful influence and instrument for evangelization, and I this is just one of the wonderful things of our technology. That's one of the good things, certainly. Catholic Radio, as it is true and faithful to the teaching of Christ and to the authentic magisterium, it becomes a place where people can actually ask their questions, the hard questions, and they don't understand. And so you can ask that in different types of show. Or they can share their faith, which is that the faith, yeah, is real. It can be hard. And so we help each other by listening to our stories of how that it is hard. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be confused, because Christ will use all of that and will bring us to a better place. So Catholic Radio, again, as it is faithful to Christ and his teachings and the authentic magisterium of the church, it becomes a beacon not only of hope but of truth. And so I think you are playing, all of you, as you continue to be faithful, a critical role in the building up of the kingdom of God.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, again, the website, theologyofthefamily.com, the book, Biblical and Theological Foundations of the Family, by Dr. Joe Atkinson, and we are grateful for your time today and for all of the wonderful words of wisdom and thoughts that you were able to share with us. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. It's been a privilege.
Thank you. All right, we're going to break, and then the chaplet, and then we'll be back talking about Catholic Match. Stay tuned.
Please join us in a parent's prayer to St. Monica. St. Monica, patron of Christian mothers, we entrust to your protection the children whose names you can read in our hearts. Pray for them that they may be granted strength.